I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Yeah, and he knows he didn't play last week the way he wanted to play. You know, he was on an upward trajectory, and then he had the game, and he wanted some plays back for sure in that game, and thought he had a good week, very intentional week of practice, and then you see the result tonight, right? So that's the journey of a young player, and we're going to have to count on these young players, and there's going to be some moments where it's two steps forward, one step back, and so, you know, with that, when they're taking that step back, we have to get them back as quickly as we can to those next two steps forward, and so and that's mentally, physically, the whole way, so that's important for us.
Yeah. Bills head coach Sean McDermott on Dion Walker, who had a couple of great moments against Tampa on Saturday. Who's had more hype as a day three pick than Dion Walker? Fourth round pick.
More hype.
The last time you had a day three pick for the Bills that was this hyped going into the season. Not that everyone's expecting him to win like rookie of the year, but people think he's going to play and going to matter, I think.
I think he's definitely going to matter.
Like last year it was nobody, right? Like Ray Davis maybe a little bit. Justin Shorter, no, yeah. Right? Shakir?
There Shakir, wasn't that immediate buzz about him, though.
But there were people that loved him in the draft.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah. Right away, we're talking him up. That kind of subsided, though, when he started playing in his rookie year and really didn't do anything, and then they tried to replace him with Cole Beasley off the couch.
Yep.
So that kind of went away. Benford just showed up and played, right? Like, I don't remember any talk about him. Gabe? Was there hype about Gabe?
Not until same the season thing, started, yeah, like, it right, felt like.
Same thing, he just kind of showed up. Remember he had that touchdown against Miami?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, he's on the field.
Right.
Like, that was a story. This is before the season, it's like Dion Walker.
Right.
It's rare. I don't think it's happened any time. I mean, they've had their day three hits. Taron Johnson. Milano.
Big time, yeah. Benford.
Benford. Wyatt Teller doesn't play here, but that's a great player.
You said Milano, right?
Milano, said, yeah. I said, yeah. There was some Colby Listonby hype. Two shows in the last week mentioned
Derek
Colby
Rogers.
Listonby.
Well, he was UDFA.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Brandon Riley.
How big an impact? I mean, what is right to expect from their rookies? Because the rookies are maybe going to be the strongest catalyst to them getting. If they jump up defensively, it could
be because they're rookies.
Yeah, it could be a couple things. It could be the linebackers being healthy.
Could be Joey Bosa's back to being like vintage Joey Bosa.
Could be that. Like, what are people expecting is the number one catalyst for them getting better on defense? Because right now, I might say linebacker.
Okay.
Being healthy. Just they haven't been healthy. I don't think many would say Cole Bishop right now, right?
Probably. Well, based on what they've seen, but if they were to take the step, I think in large part it would be because Cole Bishop's good.
But I don't know how many people are confident in that right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
The corners could have been the answer, but they're both hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you'd say that. It would right now, at this moment, it's either going to be Bosa,
yep,
the linebackers, or your rookie linemen are great.
Yeah.
They just show up out of the gates. And they perform, and they are giving you more than what you had last year when you've got to bring Quentin Jefferson off the street.
Right.
And you got to be playing Epinesa like as much as you've ever played a defensive end because you just don't have many bodies. But even that, Walker looks good. Sanders looks good, right?
Sanders looks good as well, yeah.
Landon Jackson's a ghost.
He is not bad.
Haven't heard his name.
He has not played well in the preseason. No,
I've asked like Sal, and I've looked for him at practices and at St. John Fisher. Just wasn't standing out. I don't think preseason wasn't really standing out.
Yeah.
The only time I saw his name this weekend was John Ledyard, who covers the Bucks, on top of other, you know, the Steelers and other things. But he covers the Bucks, and he's given praise to their undrafted offensive lineman
for locking him down,
completely shut out Landon Jackson.
Yeah,
like, well, that's not good. He's getting dominated by an undrafted tackle in the preseason.
It's never good.
So I don't know if he's ready to make an impact right away, but the two defensive tackles, they might. I don't know. What would be the popular answer there? They're going to get better on defense.
Probably
I told
Bosa.
You they're going to get better. It's
I'd
Bosa?
Say Bosa.
You think he plays enough during the regular season for that?
I do, yeah. I do. I think so.
I mean, I would hope so. 8 sacks. Take it?
Yeah, I would like... he should be a double-digit sack guy.
But I don't know if he plays enough for that. Part of the point about the Bills never having double-digit sack guys is they rotate so much.
Yeah.
Like, Vaughn was on his way to doing it. Leonard Floyd did it once. And is that it? 10 sack seasons for the Bills? I think that's it.
Yeah, Jerry Hughes.
Under Sean McDermott. Yeah. Hughes didn't get there.
Hughes didn't get there.
He only did when Mario Williams was across from him. Mm. So he didn't do it. Ed Oliver hasn't done it from the inside. Like, Bosa, it'd be great if he could get like a 13 sack season. You'd want to pay him. You'd want to extend him if he does that. But I don't know how likely that is to happen if he's only going to be playing a managed workload, which is what I would want for him.
I would take 8, now that I think about it.
803-0550, Marvin on a cells next. What's up, Marvin?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning. Old cynical Marvin here. Why would you bring Jordan Phillips back when you have Carter, you have that new fella, 96, Sanders, playing outstanding football? I mean, I pinpoint and watch the games, and why would you bring him back? It saddens me to see this. And Trey White, the guy had 2 major, major injuries. You bring him back, and it's like, oh, my God, Trey White, oh, he looks so good. And he won't even be playing the first game. And, I'm sorry he got hurt, but I wish they would have never brought him back. He got cut by 2 teams for a reason. He got cut by 2 teams for a reason. And the other thing, excuse me, I'm sorry. The other thing that I'd like you to discuss is why that they don't bring in another tight end and let him play different 3 tight end sets. I don't ever see it. Never see it.
Yeah, thanks, Martin, for the call. On that, I don't I wonder if Jeremy's listening right now at the idea of, let's take one more wide receiver off the field.
Yes, and add a third tight end.
How about a no receiver formation?
I think it's possible.
3 tight ends and what's goal line in Madden?
Yeah, just
3
goal
tight
line.
Ends and 2 running backs.
Yeah.
Right? No, I don't need to do that. They have Jackson Hawes. He's going to play some this year. So, like, Dave, you want a third tight end playing? You're probably going to have a third tight end playing more this year than ever.
The question is how many times I'm going to call him Spencer Hawes before his first name sticks with me.
Spencer Hawes?
Yeah.
Who's that?
He's used to play in the NBA center.
Oh.
Big, tall guy, Spencer Hawes.
I'm never going to do that.
I
wish you hadn't said it.
I'm going to do it.
I was never going to make that mistake.
Minimum 4 more times.
Okay, I don't think many Bills fans were ready to make a mistake.
Well, it's just, you have to understand the sports encyclopedia in my head.
That sometimes, Spencer Hawes is rattling around up there, who's like a rotational.
Hawes is there, my brain automatically associates Hawes with Spencer Hawes.
I can't even think of another Hawes in sports.
There's not. That's why. Spencer Hawes was the pinnacle of Hawes in sports.
So that can't be very good then.
No. No.
On the Jordan Phillips part of it.
Yes.
I don't necessarily get it fully either. I guess if the most reasonable defense for me on who he would replace is not Dwayne Carter. It is not even Larry Ogunjobi. Because then I still got to figure out who makes the 53-man roster, because then I got to cut somebody else. If I cut Ogunjobi, I still have to cut somebody else that I was planning on keeping to put Phillips on the roster. It's Daquan Jones. That's the one that makes the most sense. If you told me,
You're starting defensive tackle? You're starting one
I know, but it's... I can either have Daquan Jones or going to have Jordan Phillips and $4.5 million.
Okay, here's the thing.
That's a defendable
You don't have
position.
A true one technique then on your entire defensive tackle roster if you get rid of him.
You know, I don't know that the Bills necessarily want a true one. They kind of act like they don't think they need true one technique.
You have to have one anchor. You have to.
Who was it last year?
Him.
Jones?
Yeah.
Okay. And they had Phillips in there.
But Phillips is a 3-tech.
Yeah, but
So is TJ Sanders. So is Ed Oliver. And
yep.
Deion Walker could pretend we want him to play one tech. I don't know that he's definitely not an every down one tech. So let's just start there. They don't have every down one techs. Right now,
right, that's what
as
I mean.
It stands, that's what I mean. They have 3 3 techs and 2 1 techs. And Dwayne Carter is a 3 tech.
Yep.
So to me, it has to be Carter. It has to be. You can't drain yourself. You can't have one guy that you're projecting to be a one tech and get rid of the only guy that's an actual true one technique.
What are the odds you think they move on from a third round pick that quickly?
He's been underwhelming.
Have they ever? I know he's been underwhelming, but have they ever done that?
So they might think they can get him to the practice squad.
A third round pick? Somebody takes a flyer on that.
Maybe.
Somebody had him as a second round pick, and it didn't end up happening, and they say, hey, we liked that guy in the draft last year. Let's take a shot at him.
I'm wrong a lot. I would be willing to bet quite a bit that it's not DaQuan Jones.
I mean, the earliest the Bills have moved on from a third round pick, you go through their history. Dorian Williams, still on the team. Terrell Bernard, still on the team. Spencer Brown, still on the team. Zach Moss. Is that into his third year where they trade him?
Yes.
They don't cut him. They trade him in the middle of his third season. Devin Singletary finished out the contract. Dawson Knox, still here. Harrison Phillips finished out his rookie contract. I mean, I'm pre-McDermott. Pre-McDermott and Bean. John Miller. Adolphus Washington.
The Dolph, baby. The Dolph.
Marquise Goodwin. TJ Graham. Man, they have Kelvin Shepard. Who was the last third round pick they moved on from going into year two? Alex Carrington. Nope. Now we're into players I don't remember, so I can't do that.
Yeah.
So it would be unprecedented. I'm not saying it can't happen.
It wasn't that good of a draft class for them, to be honest. That and if it is Dwayne Carter, then it's a it's an admittance a little bit that you got it wrong.
But. And as someone called up earlier wanted to point out, that's the player that they got in the Worthy trade.
They traded up. I don't think
they
traded up.
They went from round
back.
4 to round 3.
That will not be in the back of their minds. Oh, well, this is the guy in the Worthy.
You don't think
this
No.
They either like the player or they don't.
I think you're probably right. That's how they should operate. That should not matter in the formula of whether or not to keep him. But these guys are human beings, and if Ty goes to the guy that doesn't make us look bad because that was our trade and now everybody's going to point it out.
That's not going to be the reason they keep him.
Shouldn't be. No, you would keep him because he's a third-round pick and you don't give up on third-round picks that quickly.
Yeah.
Boogie Basham they gave up on how quickly?
Pretty quick.
That was after year two, though, wasn't it? He played 2 years, didn't he? That was not second year.
He might have.
They traded him for basically nothing.
He stunk.
He played 2 seasons for the Bills.
Yeah, he stunk.
And then he got traded. Basham. 803-0550 is the phone number. Also, Marvin, talking about Trey White there, too. I don't expect a ton from Tre'Davious White. So I guess my opinion on their impact for the Baltimore game, if he can't play, is really not changed all that much.
Yeah, they're not playing the Bengals.
No, I put a Twitter poll up earlier about this. How confident are you in the Bills' defense going into week one with all their injuries and all everything? And 63% said they're nervous about the Baltimore game. Only 13% said they're confident.
Hmm.
And that is... Isn't that about where we were going into the playoff game last year? How confident were fans? Not that they couldn't win that game, but that they could win it that way. That they could get a couple stops, they could get a couple turnovers.
Yeah.
They could shut down an offense that, I mean, statistically, they were like the best rushing offense ever as a team. And they didn't do the job in terms of forcing stops, but they forced their turnovers. And I'm left to believe that going into week one, they're probably going to need the same thing. They're going to need to force a couple of turnovers. Or I think Baltimore might light them up. They've got their injuries too. I mean, Isaiah Likely might not play that game. And they're a team that's built through their tight ends. If they line up with 3 receivers against the Bills, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is a shell of himself, but I would say advantage DeAndre Hopkins against whatever whatever corner he's going up against. Remember, he got to Kansas City late last year, didn't he?
Did he?
Didn't he get there late? He was traded, wasn't he? From Tennessee? He was still on Tennessee. So, full offseason on a new team. I'm not saying he's going to be what he used to be, but that's a player, as a guy I wouldn't want a rookie going up against, right? I don't want Dorian Strong going up against. Hopkins will be like, oh, you're giving me a day three rookie in week one. Hopkins. I'm going to. But he's a technician. Like he's gonna know how to get open against that guy.
I guess, yeah.
It would be the mental part of the game for me, at least in that one.
He's cooked. He's old. He's cooked.
I bet you right now, what's his over-under for week one? I would take the over.
Really?
Yeah.
What? And it's probably 15.5.
He's 33 years old. He caught 41 passes last year. So yeah, I might take 15.5.
Yeah, right. He was Mac Hollins last year.
He
is what he was. He was Mac Hollins without the special teams.
He played 6 games for Tennessee and 10 games for Kansas City last season. And the previous year, I had 1,000 yards the previous year.
He's cooked.
Had some injuries last year.
Their receiving core is worse than the Bills.
Ooh, I don't know that I
would take Shakir over Flowers.
Oh, I would not do that.
You wouldn't?
No.
Really?
They're not that far apart, and they're similar players, but I would take Flowers. Yeah.
I would take Shakir.
Flowers can actually move around the offense more than Shakir can. I could put Flowers outside and get away with it, and Shakir has yet to prove that. I don't need to nitpick, though. Like I think those two are, like, they're similar.
I think their receiver groups are closer, but I do think the Bills from top to bottom are better than theirs.
I think I'd take the Ravens.
Who do they have behind Hopkins?
I would take Bateman.
Who do they have behind Hopkins?
Devontae Walker, Tylan Wallace, Anthony Miller. Nothing much. But what?
Like, at least the Bills have accomplished players.
Sure. Curtis Samuel. He's going to be on the field.
He's got a 1,000-yard season under his belt.
The Bills have more names. Mm-hmm. Definitely will say that. But
better overall group.
I like the Ravens top three better. Depth, I'll give it to the
Bills. Well, it's because you don't like Keon Coleman yet.
No, not yet. No, I need to see it from him in the regular season.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough. I think that is the type of player that can fool people in the offseason more than any. The highlight reel catches that are going to get onto Twitter.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he can't be good. I'm not writing him off completely, but I'm just not taking a lot of stock in those types of plays. And I'd take more stock in Sal telling us and those that are watching practice that he's looked more consistent this year. That would be the reason that I would be buying in more. Bills and Baltimore. How many positions do you think you could do that with? How many positions would you take the Bills over the Ravens?
How many what?
How many positions would you take the Bills over the Ravens? You would take the Bills receivers?
I would take the Bills receivers.
You would take the Bills line, right?
Yes, offensive line, yes.
Okay. Tight end room?
No.
Baltimore.
Yeah.
Running back room. Baltimore.
Yeah.
Defensive line. Baltimore's defensive line looks pretty good.
I would say edge, Baltimore. I think interior, I might take the Bills.
Okay. Linebacker. Roquan Smith.
And who?
Trenton Simpson. Just a.
I'll take the third Bills round pick because I think Bernard. I think Milano and Roquan are close enough for me that the difference. I would say that's a toss up. Let's go toss up at linebacker.
All right. Secondary.
Ravens. Entire secondary.
In a blowout.
Entire secondary.
Right?
Yep. How about coaching?
They have coaching? I'm not a big Harbaugh guy.
Either am I.
I used to be, but I don't know. He started driving me crazy recently. The Ravens secondary, I mean, Kyle Hamilton and Malachi Starks at safety. Marlon Humphrey. Jair Alexander is kind of like Trey White, though. Like
He's
not on the field.
Yeah.
Actually, Trey White's practiced a lot more
than
Jair
Alexander. Who's their other boundary corner?
Nate Wiggins.
Nate Wiggins, former first-round pick.
Week one. I love that it's Sunday night also because that means I could just watch Red Zone all day.
Yeah.
Just stew in all the football before we get rolling to the Bills game that night.
Like 5 o'clock pregame or whatever it is.
Yeah, and we get the two night games before that on Thursday and Friday.
Yep.
Friday night, Chiefs and Chargers.
Let's go.
Come on, Chargers. Can for once in your lives, just do the thing everyone knows you're capable of. right? Everyone knows you're capable of it. You just refuse to do it, ever. 803-0550 is the phone number. We have a Matt Damon poll from earlier as well, and Nate does not like the results of that one. Great actor.
Insane.
The audience says great actor on Matt Damon, and I agree. You're the complete opposite of the spectrum. You think he stinks. Just brutal. 4% agree with you. Time out here. When we come back, look around the league a little bit more. There's a couple other big names that could be on the move. We mentioned Travis Etienne a little bit earlier on. We also got to get to Jordan Phillips' number. If you haven't seen the number that Jordan Phillips is going to wear,
it's atrocious.
It's we might have to help him figure out a different number than the one he
picked. It's a non-starter for me.
A non-starter, like off the team?
He can't play on the team with the current number he's wearing.
All right, we'll let you know what number Jordan Phillips is wearing as well when we come back. Hey, get ready for the inaugural Back Tee Golf Classic coming up Monday, September 29th at Gowanda Country Club. It's a full day of golf, community, and giving back. The car giveaway and a par 3 hole-in-one contest, a $10,000 cash prize putting contest, raffles, silent auction, and more. All proceeds go to the Spina Bifida Clinic at Oshai Children's Hospital. Spots are limited. Register now at backtgolfclassic.com. Let's help and make a difference. Good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy is off today. 803-0550 is the phone number here on WGR. Jordan Phillips is coming back to the Bills, reportedly, and he has sent out on Instagram, on his own Instagram, a picture of his locker at the Bills facilities. And there's two things to notice. One, it doesn't say his last name. It says Jordan Big Phil. So he's running with his nickname on the locker plate. And he's wearing a new number because Joey Bosa is wearing number 97. And he's going to be wearing number 52, which I think is a tough number for a defensive tackle. That is a middle linebacker number. Fifth, I can't think of a 52 playing.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Offensive line that I, like, has felt like a good player ever. Yeah,
52 is a... There's so many of these now since they changed the jersey number rules where these guys can wear whatever they want.
Yeah.
Just do not make sense to me in my brain. And this is definitely on that list.
Yeah. I remember thinking, like, when Marcell Dareus played at Alabama, he wore 57. Mm-hmm. And I thought that looked cool. I thought that looked good. Some difference between the 7 and the 2 here, though, because 52 doesn't strike me as a very...
That's interesting because 2 and 7 are visually... pretty similar, if you think
are
about
they?
It.
Two and I mean, seven?
Two.
There was a race car seven. Driver that used to do an upside down number 2 as a number 7.
Okay.
I remember that. I remember seeing that as a kid, like in NASCAR. And
yeah.
Really confused.
Put a poll up. Does a 2 and a 7 look visually? I'm just kidding. I'm looking at 52 in Bills history, and I can't find a defensive lineman.
Yeah, like, everyone's a linebacker.
The closest, yeah, like Preston Brown. The closest I've got is Arthur Motes, who is more of an edge rusher, right? And also a linebacker. So that's the closest that you're that I think you're going to get. So Jordan Phillips expected to come back to the Bills in the next few days. And again, we've been talking about it today. Like, do not know what that's going to do to the 53-man roster. I think the money saved on Daquan Jones makes that look like the most appealing choice.
Yeah.
Rather than giving up on a third round pick. But
yeah, I've given up on Carter this early, I think, would be a really tough blow. In that, even more so because of the context of that draft specifically,
mm-hmm.
It was such a huge draft for them. And to not, like, 1 year in, acknowledge that pick was not worth it and that was a mistake,
yep,
is a really tough thing to admit. But I think if it's the right move, you got to do it. But it seems like you wouldn't want to give up on that guy that early, because he's done some stuff, I thought, last year that he popped and I thought looked good at times. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't had a great spring to what everybody's saying. He's been kind of invisible, but he's a young guy. You want to hope that he can kind of fight through that, and cutting him or trading him, you're not going to get the third round pick back for him. You're not going to get anything close to that back. And if you cut him, you're getting nothing. So
late round pick swap, maybe at the you're not getting anything of value. The worst sign for him was that he was made inactive so many times last year. That he had that one pop play against Houston. But I remember Joe Marino on Locked On Bills pointing out, as last year was going on, because I think some thought after he had that couple of big moments against Houston, all right, this is going pretty well. And I remember Joe breaking down this is not going great. And then the Bills must have agreed because they made him inactive for 5 games in a row.
Right.
And then even after that, he did not play much after he was made inactive. I mean, he played in garbage time a little bit. He played a little bit against the Rams and the Lions. He did not play in the postseason for the Bills last year. So the trust factor, was, we think we need to go get guys that have been here and replace you with Quentin Jefferson off the street. So I guess that's the biggest pessimistic view of what he is right now as an asset. I do think Bills fans do a pretty good job, though, of not thinking about, I think this is true, at least we don't get the calls about it, or you don't see it on Twitter all the time, about belaboring the revisionist history of a trade.
Yeah.
Because in this instance, we had one call about it earlier. Carter being the piece that the Bills basically get for trading down with Kansas City last season.
Right.
That worthy trade, what they get out of it is they move up from round 4 to round 3 and they draft Dwayne Carter. And if you're already giving up on that or that's not looking good, then you might feel like the Bills got nothing for making that trade. That's never been my problem with the trade. I've always thought that trade was more about just doing a deal with Kansas City in the first place. I would just never do it. They would be on my blocked calls list.
Right. You just don't even pick up that phone call at the draft.
But if you do play that game, Carter's not making it look great. Again, we don't do it with – we definitely don't do it with the Mahomes trade. And that's mostly because Allen has become so amazing.
Right.
And right now – I mean, you saw it a lot this offseason. You got people ranking him above Mahomes. So that, I think, helped that. If Allen didn't become Allen, then maybe it would be every day in here. I'm not sure. And nobody brings up that they traded away the pick for Jefferson. Again, why? Diggs was amazing for 4 years.
Right.
Sure, now you might rather have the other guy, but no one's worried about it because you got what you wanted out of that deal. This one, I wonder if this one becomes different, because this might be one where you don't get what you want out of it. But it hasn't happened yet, and I think part of that is there still is a belief in Coleman.
Right.
That,
I agree.
You know, in the Mahomes trade, you got what you wanted out of it. You got Josh Allen, and you got a bunch of other stuff. Coinciding moves after. In the first round pick for Diggs trade, sure, you didn't get that guy, but you got what you wanted. You got the elite number one receiver for 4 years. In this instance, what did you want? You wanted a really good receiver, like they did, but I want something else on top of it that's going to make me better by trading up and getting this defensive tackle. And you could still get what you want out of that. Carter could even still become something.
Right.
But it's kind of the same thing. Worthy can be good all he wants. If Coleman becomes a real player for the Bills, nobody will care.
No. Nobody will even remember.
Nobody will care.
And that's how it always goes. If it works out, everybody forgets about what you did wrong or what people perceive as you doing wrong.
Even if you would rather have the other side in a vacuum.
You'll just forget about it because you're I got the good thing. It's shiny. I'm cool. We're good. Whereas in this kind of situation, where Coleman is where he's at, where it's not looked, great yet. He's had a good camp from what everybody's said.
Yep.
But it's not translated onto the field just yet for him. Then people think about it. And that's why I think we get one call about it today, which is more than we would ever get about it any other time.
In a year.
Right. Exactly. And so I think because of that, it just illustrates your point that you're just not – people will forget about it if it works out.
Right.
If it doesn't, it will stick with you.
That's still, the trade does still annoy me though. I won't. Oh. It's just not for these reasons.
Right.
It is because of doing a deal with Kansas City and giving them what they wanted, which was Worthy. And I don't think it was guaranteed they were going to get Worthy otherwise. That's right. Why they're calling you. They're calling you because they don't think they could stay there.
I doubt that they would be, their first thought would be, all right, let's see if the Bills will do it. They probably tried with other teams first and saw, like,
yeah,
nobody's hitting. I guess we got to try with
maybe
with Buffalo and see if they'll do it. And they did.
Right. McConkey also.
Yeah, that's the one that burns to me the most.
Yeah, I know. Awesome. Like, what? Looking back on that for a moment. Because that's not – it's always Worthy versus Coleman. Worthy versus Coleman. McConkey's the best player of the three, easily.
Yeah.
And he goes last of the three. We talked about him a lot, right? Like, he was on our board in here. He was on the wide receiver big board. That was always met with, well, I've got Shakir here, and McConkey's probably a slot guy.
Right.
And he was. I mean, you look at last year, he played 65% in the slot. He had the sixth most slot snaps at receiver in the league last season. And this year, there's a little bit of a belief that they'll do more with him on the outside, because when they did put him outside last year in that 35%, it went well. So maybe they do more of that. They brought in Keenan Allen. You know Keenan Allen's not playing outside anymore. So right. McConkey might go out there. And he looks like, I mean, he was on the NFL's top 100 list, if you care about that. He put up crazy good numbers. And he's never brought up. It's always Worthy versus Coleman. But McConkey is the one that if you could, in a magic wand, you could go back in time.
You're picking him.
That's the guy you want. 100%. He's awesome. He gets open relentlessly. He's great after the catch. I expect him to be a great receiver for a long time in the NFL. And Coleman and Worthy, I would more be around like, oh, they'll probably be pretty good.
Yeah, they'll be all right. They'll be players probably. But I think McConkey you can see becoming a true number one. And I don't know that Worthy or Coleman are really destined
like,
for that.
Would you think, here's a question, will Keon Coleman ever have the stats, the stat line in a season that McConkey just did? Ooh. So in his entire career, 1 year, he's only got to do it one time. Will Coleman ever have a year like McConkey did last year, which was 82 catches, 1,149 yards, and 7 touchdowns? He doesn't even have to do that to be a good player.
No.
And I probably would say he won't get to that.
I would bet he'll pass that touchdown number maybe even this year.
Sure,
yeah. But I don't think he's going to...
The receptions.
Catch that many balls. I just don't think he's going to do it. It's
yeah.
his style, unless they transition him to a little more sort of short yardage stuff like we talked about on Friday, right?
Big
like,
slot.
That's in that world, I could definitely see him doing that. Because if he's catching, that's another, whatever, 3 or 4 catches a game that are easier sort of receptions that he can make something happen with.
Yep.
I could believe it then, but I don't think the Bills are ever going to do that with him because of Shakir.
No, and I also don't think they need to, right?
Right.
Part of how McConkey gets so many last year is the Chargers had nothing else.
Exactly.
Well, they had Palmer. Palmer they had, but like Quentin Johnston was starting for them all year, and he was a disaster, so they didn't have much. Mike on a cell is next up. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. I want to kind of, you know, we've talked in the past about Bean and drafts and stuff like that, but one of the things that bothers me is the lack of impact free agents. I mean, think about when's the last time that we picked up a free agent that became an impact player. We've whiffed on Samuel. We whiffed on Sherfield. We whiffed on Hardy. The two defensive linemen that we just picked up in the, you know, they're suspended for 6 games. When's the last, I mean, Mac Hollins, you can't really call him an impact player. He became a fifth wide receiver. But it seems like all these free agents that he picks up never really pan out. And it kind of boggles my mind.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I mean, they haven't had as much money to go after free agents in recent years, but it's a good question. No, I wouldn't say it's Mac Hollins. I mean, he led the team in snaps, but, you know, what are we doing? We're not measuring receivers based on snaps. He had 378 yards. I mean, I don't want to go all the way back to Poyer and Hyde. It's so long ago now. You know, you look around their depth chart and how many of their guys that are going to be relied upon this year were brought in via free agency. Like, we'll see what Palmer does. Connor McGovern has been a good interior lineman for them for a couple years via free agency. Taylor Rapp, to me, is just a guy. So, it's a valid question. You're hoping this year there'll be more of that. Bosa, Palmer, maybe Trey White coming back. I don't know what you want to count him as. But Vaughn would have been the answer. Vaughn was on his way to being that answer. And he's got hurt. And even last year, you know, like, Vaughn last year, by all the pass rushing metrics, was their best. And he's unable to play first and second down, basically. But he did end up with 6 sacks in 13 games, playing a third of the snaps. So, if he had been capable of playing a full role, I mean, you were talking about a double-digit sack guy, even last year, after the injury. But, obviously, he was just so limited that I don't even know if I want to say he was the answer. It's a good question. You're hoping this year will give you the list. Like, oh, who are their best recent free agent acquisitions? Palmer and Bosa. You know, you'd want them to be number one and number two of recent years, not going all the way back to like Poyer and Hyde. Extendo Sports when we come back, and then we'll get you off to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Hey, join Khalil Shakir and Northtown Toyota for the Shakir Family Pet Adoption Event on Saturday, August 30th, this Saturday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Northtown Toyota, 1135 Miller Sport Highway in Amherst. Meet pets ready for adoption from local rescues, grab bites from food trucks. There'll be local vendors there as well, giveaways, raffles, live entertainment, all for a great cause benefiting Nickel City Canine Rescue, Awesome Paws Rescue, and Buddy's Second Chance. It's coming up this Saturday. There were some trades in the league yesterday. The Eagles made 3 of them. Howie Roseman is a dealer. Sam Howell to the Eagles. Didn't know he was even in Seattle.
Carson Wentz on the Vikings.
Carson Wentz. How is it? Well, I guess never mind. How is Carson Wentz not a starter in the league and Daniel Jones is? They're like the same person. The difference is Wentz has had his second opportunity and then his third opportunity.
I feel like Wentz was kind of more talented than... I guess Jones came out.
If Wentz didn't get hurt,
Wentz also...
I think this would be a drastically...
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Different conversation.
True. Wentz had a year that Jones never did. Now he might have done it behind the best offensive line in NFL history, and then his backup came in and had the exact same efficiency. So that kind of would be the reason for that, but I mean, yeah, I guess this is the Colts is doing the same thing, isn't it? Now Wentz is in Minnesota, and he probably never gets a starting job again.
No, he's got to be done.
He's going to be 33 during the season? I thought he was younger than that.
Yeah.
Like, was he ever good? Because I tend to think almost any quarterback on that Eagles team with that offensive line would have been awesome, and we saw that literally proven true in the playoffs.
I'm a huge Carson Wentz guy, so this is tough for me because I...
You just like him because you look like him.
Well,
doppelganger. Yeah, that's it.
It's part of it, maybe.
Hey, is Nate dodging our race here or what? What's up with the 40-yard dash here?
Yeah, Nate's not feeling the 40-yard dash right now.
That's tough.
I don't know. Means the win goes to you.
No. I don't want to buy forfeit. I got it. We'll get maybe... Combine season.
Combine season.
Maybe some point during the fall.
We also had a chatter.
I also didn't have the right shoes on, so I'm partially to blame. I guess I'm wearing Jordans today, so I guess I could have ran in that. They're not perfect. Great. They're not perfect for
it. We had a chatter right in that was very upset with us that we didn't already know this, but Jordan Phillips was drafted 52nd overall.
Oh,
so that is
that
why
makes
he's
sense.
Wearing 52.
I mean, you think I'm walking around knowing the exact pick is
from 10 years ago? I know. I said the same thing in the chat. I was like, sorry for not memorizing the draft order for the Miami Dolphins.
Right. If he was a Bills pick. No, we don't really remember the exact picks, though. We remember the rounds.
Right.
Yeah. What was Coleman?
Yeah, you would have known what round it was and been like, oh,
could
have been
round.
52's around,
right.
Around there.
We know Miami. That doesn't even work.
How many Bills would you know the exact pick of? Allen's.
Right.
Seven. Although, how many Bills fans even know that one?
That's a good question.
Maybe Trey White. What was that? Like
27.
27.
Yeah.
First round guys are easy. Anything past the first round, no chance.
Coleman is kind of easy. With
33.
Was James Cook 61?
I don't have that.
62.
I think.
I don't know why I know that.
That's interesting.
James Cook. Might not find it in time. Extra point shows on the way next. James Cook, 63. We were both wrong.
So
we need to go one more up. Like, what was Osiris Torrance's number? You know what? Let's get rid of rounds. I'm done with rounds.
Just overall?
Yeah, it completely just messes up everyone's perception of values of picks.
Yeah. First round, I feel that is especially
Whereas
true.
A 30th pick feels so much more valuable than like the 37th pick.
Right.
When in reality, they're so much closer than like 30th to 10th. Let's get rid of rounds.
Huh?
It's easier to dissect, right?
Yeah.
Whatever. All right, that'll do it for us today here on WGR, for me at least. The Extra Point Show is on the way next, so stay tuned for that. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll talk tomorrow on Cutdown Day here on Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy will be back tomorrow morning, and this is WGR.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.